Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I'm your host, Casey Grant, and it is March the 2nd. Can you believe it? 3 months into the new year. And for Chicago, we are having a fantastic day. The sun is shining, the trees are budding, but I think Mother Nature is playing a little trick on us because I think we probably will get snow before it's all over. But I am back with a wonderful show today, and I have a fantastic person that I would like to introduce to you once again. I've had her on my show before, and she always gives us so much fabulous information and a wonderful interview that you need to just settle down and take time and listen to the history of this fantastic woman. Her name is Patricia Banks Edmiston, and she was the very first black commercial stewardess. And yes, I meant to say stewardess and not flight attendant. That was the days of being glamorous and beautiful and serving food and traveling all over the world and having a great time. And we are going to be talking about this fantastic PBS documentary that just aired February the 20th. I happen to be involved in that also. And from Pat and I are going to discuss how we felt from A to Z on the documentary. I loved it. I think it's something that everyone should watch. If you missed it, please just go to YouTube and pull up Fly With Me, and you'll be able to enjoy this hour-long, very informative, well-done. The co-producers were Sarah Colt and Helen Dwoski, and you should be able to enjoy that and pass the word. It's something people should know. So with that little introduction and wishing you a good day, I would like to bring my best friend, my good friend, my partner in crime, Patricia Banks Edmiston. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a rainy day here. I'm glad you're getting some sun there.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of, you need to go out, enjoy the sun, but it's kind of a lazy day, so I would like to maybe not do anything today, but I'll just see, whatever. So, Pat, would you just give my audience a little history, a lot of history, because that's what you are, a lot of history. Give my audience your introduction of who you are, what you did, and then we're going to move into the craziness, this wonderful life that you're still living. You are so active. You are absolutely amazing. So give the audience the history of who Patricia Banks Edmiston is.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Pat. I use Noisette because that's my family name, Pat Noisette Banks. It's a great day, everyone. I was just thinking this morning of how wonderful it is to see blacks in flight, pilots and stewardesses. Back in 1956, I saw an article in Look magazine, and I was in college, but I hadn't traveled very much, and the article looked exciting where they would train you to be a flight attendant. So I went to the school, and they accepted me with honors, and I did my training for, I guess it was about for 6 months. And then I began to have interviews. My first interviews were with Mohawk Airlines, TWA, and Capital Airlines. And after several interviews, I was getting no results. No one was saying anything to me. And then one of the chief stewardesses happened to see me outside, and she said, "Pat, I hate to see you go through this." She said, "The airlines do not hire Negroes." And, of course, that hit me like a bomb because as a fair-skinned Negro back in those days, people would always talk to me about what I was. And they would tell me I was Puerto Rican, and I'd stand up on my feet. No, I'm a Negro. And studying the problems in the South, and I could never understand that there had to be a black toilet and a white toilet. And I was young, but I couldn't figure that out. I went to a white high school, And I remember standing in the hallway, and this teacher asked me where I was from. And I said, oh, I was born and raised in Harlem. And she started yelling, telling me I was born in Yemen. And I was young then. I didn't even know what Yemen was.
Right.
It was just, you know, you're telling me where I was born. There weren't many blacks in the school at the time. It was like two or three blacks. It was Aquinas Academy. And my sister and my girlfriend, Faye, and I were the second group. There was one other black person in the school. And every time I would go to this religious class, the nun would start talking about the bars and grills and the churches on the corners of Harlem. So these kinds of things would always agitate me in high school and the questions and the problems. So when this chief stewardess told me that the airlines did not hire Negroes, it sort of came to me in true realization that the United States was a very biased country and that New York was very biased. And the unfortunate part, it was very subtle. Very subtle. And it was almost like it really never came out unless a black person applied for a job, applied for interest in certain schools, and things of that nature. So it kind of exploded within me. And I said, you know, I'm sick of this. I can't take this anymore. So I went to a friend of mine, Fred Weaver, who was commissioner of housing. And we used to call him Pop. We lived and grew up in Riverton. And he was commissioner of housing. He said, I'll take care of it. And he introduced me to Adam Clayton Powell, and Adam Clayton Powell introduced me to the New York State Commission Against Discrimination. And they took my case, and I had two attorneys, Holloman Seifetz and Mary Brown. And we fought the case for 4 years. But now, in the interim, with all the investigations, TWA considered a young lady named Margaret Grant. But after physical exams, they would not hire her because she had sickle cell anemia. But Mohawk, in the latter part of 57, did hire a young lady named Ruth Carol Taylor. And she was accepted on Mohawk, which was a regional aircraft. And I was informed that her hiring on this regional did not have the effect on the commercial aircraft. And she only stayed a short period of time. So then it actually went dead at the early part of 1960 with her, 1958. So my case continued with the commission, and it was just 4 years of interviews, investigations, because discrimination, as we all know, is a very difficult thing to prove. So the commission had it together after 4 years of investigation. They realized the airlines had no Negroes, blacks, I should say, on their aircraft. So in 1960, my case went to court, and they were ordered to hire me or else the case would go to the Supreme Court. And that was on and against the airline called Capital Airlines, which was one of the top southern aircraft. So my flights were to the south. Now, that was not a very comfortable situation because my first trip was to Little Rock, Arkansas. And if I remember correctly, there was a murder in Little Rock, Arkansas back then of a black child. And so I wasn't very comfortable, but surprisingly enough, it was a rainy, rainy day. And a young white man came into the lounge with an umbrella when it was time for us to depart. And he said, I'm coming to get you, and it's raining very hard outside. And he took me to the aircraft with an umbrella, which I couldn't believe. I'll never forget that young man. But there were many other problems later on. Passengers, I remember I had a passenger. He said to me, you must be from northern India. And I said, no, sir, I'm from northern Africa. The man almost passed out and fainted. It was crazy. I mean, people would just ask me. When I first started, the hostess would ask me if the NAACP was paying my salary and paying for my hotel. And then one student said to me, she said, you have a beautiful tan. She said, you must be based in New Orleans. So those were the kind of issues. Now, with the passengers, in serving them, of course, I had no problem because I was black and they were accustomed to the services of black people. But there was a cute little situation where a little girl about 5 years old, she looked at me and she said, "Hi," she said, "my mommy has somebody home like you." Well, I thought I would die laughing. Here was a five-year-old that realized I was a black woman. We were on a DC-3, and a DC-3, I don't think they even exist now, but they were sort of local flights, so they were kind of bumpy because they would fly low altitudes. And this man said to me, he said, "Would you hold my hand, please?" He said, "Because I'm scared to death of these DC-3s. And I said, "Certainly, sir. As soon as I finish doing my little chores here, I'll be glad to hold your hand." So I'm sitting with this white man, and I'm holding his hand, and he says to me, "Have you ever been to Montana?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "The trees are beautiful. The grass is so green. No niggers and no winos." And this was very difficult for me because I kept holding his hand.
Yes.
But these were the kind of situations I had to encounter. I had to be, what can I say, very patient and let some of these issues just go over my head because I was young. And ordinarily, young woman my age and a young black woman my age, we would respond to some of these situations. But I had to hold those things in. I caused a riot in Alcoa, Tennessee. I stayed in a motel with the staff. I think I began to feel a little comfortable in staying with the staff, but no one said anything to me. The director of operations did offer me the opportunity to stay with him and his wife, but I said, "No, thank you very much. I'll stay with the staff." And I was in my room one day, and this white woman came in, and she said to me, "This must be your first time here." And this was a three-day trip, so I was in this motel for 3 days. When I arrived back to my home base, which was Detroit, Michigan, Willow Run Airport, I got a call. There was a riot held in Tennessee. There was a hotel that tried to get the services of the airlines, and this motel I stayed in outbid the hotel. So the hotel spread a rumor that this motel had integrated, and so there was a big riot. So from there on in, all of my flights south, security would meet me at the door before the plane would even open and take me to black motels. So it was a series of events, but I prayed most of the time for support, and I got that from my family and friends. And it turned out where it worked out well. Now we have many, many black pilots, male and female, and airline stewardesses. And I think that although my efforts were the beginning, I give a lot of credit to all of those that are flying now, because with each one that flies, they have showed that blacks can do the job. So that is my greatest gratitude.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I just want to interject and ask a few questions on what you said because, you know, for anyone that's listening to the story, you have to listen quietly and intently because it's absolutely amazing for you to have taken on such a huge task as you did. That took a lot of courage, and as feisty as everyone, as I know, and the people who know you, you are very feisty, determined, and you believe in what's right and what's wrong. You're going to stand up for things. But did you realize at the time how important what you were doing, how it would affect? Did that burden you, or did that give you the energy to continue? How did you feel about that?
Well, I think that I wanted so badly to see that blacks got the jobs in flight. And as I said, from a young person, I was very conscious of the racism. I was very conscious about how people would talk about different religions. And I remember my dad in the eighth grade got me a book called The World's Greatest Religions. And when I read that book and I studied that book as a young girl, I realized that no matter what you call anyone, Allah, God, Jesus, there's only one higher power. And I got sort of, you get tired of people arguing about, you know, this is not real or this is not, you know, it's like sometimes it becomes hard to believe that we exist in a world where there's so much discrepancy between white, black, Spanish, whoever you are. It's just amazing. When I look at Israel and Gaza now, it's sickening. It's sickening that we live in a world that can do these things to human beings.
And you have, and here you were, you fought this battle back in 57, and here we are talking 2024.
It was started in 1956.
56, from 56.
Yes.
And here we are, 2024. And you're absolutely right. A lot of the things that you were fighting, they still are there, very present. And we are fighting the battle. We are. We have women that are standing up, which is what you did. You were fighting not for just your race, but you were fighting for women's equal rights. And not only, and I want to make it a point or to ask you and to also say, you know, you opened the doors for the women, the stewardesses, but you also opened the door for pilots, too. Because
there were no black pilots at the time that I filed my complaint. I think the first black pilot was Marlon Green. He was hired, I believe it was in 1963.
So, no, you opened the doors up for so many people because of your courage. And I, as I say, I just admire you, and I'm so thankful, and we are all thankful, because my career, as I think my audience may know, my career started in 1971. And as you were, it still was, well, 6 years then, because you were hired and everything was complete, as you said, in 1960 is when you took your flight, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Delta hired their very first black flight attendant in 1966. And
oh,
it was
before that, there was Diane Hunter, and she was hired in 65.
Okay, Diane Hunter was 65.
And then
65.
There was Louise Phelps.
And that was United,
that was hired,
wasn't it?
In 1966.
And that was United, wasn't it? Diane was United?
Diane was United, I believe, and I think Louise was Continental.
Okay, yes, I think so.
And then you had Pat Murphy in 69?
66.
66? I thought it was 69.
And Delta was a Southern
Airline.
Okay, but
look at how long it took for them to hire another person.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's the thing that is so amazing, and this is why I enjoy having my show and the podcast and people like you to comment and call in and to be, you know, taught different things, because we need to know our history. And the fact is, you are still here with us to tell the story, for us to be able to ask the different questions, and we love it. We love it. So we're getting it straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, and the feisty one at that. Now, let's see. What I would like to kind of go back and forth on is this. What did you think of the documentary when PBS approached you? Can you tell us how that happened?
I was approached by PBS to do a documentary on flight attendants. And, of course, at first I didn't know it was just a history of flight attendants, but I did find that out later on that it was. I thought it was going to just be black history, but it wasn't, which I was kind of glad, because I thought it was very interesting to go about the history of how people thought about women in that field many years ago in the 1930s. And I think Victoria Van Tuck had written a book called Jet Sex, and it went back to her mother, who became a stewardess all the way back. Now, the documentary, Fly With Me, I thought it was excellent, because it was very, very informative. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize what stewardess went through in so many aspects of their lives.
I know it. And that was, you know, I learned a lot that I didn't know. Like, one of the things I thought was very interesting was the all-male flights. I didn't know that. I never knew that, that women could, there were certain planes, certain flights that women were not allowed on, only men.
Exactly. I didn't know that either.
No. And
I didn't
another
know that
thing,
either.
That was, and I hate to give the information away to everyone because, as I said, when you watch this documentary, it is just so informative. But I did not know how they would make or had a code if a black person called in for a reservation, and if the flight, if they needed a seat, they would ask a black person or cancel out a black person's reservation or cancel their seat and give it to a white person. Now, that I
yes.
did not know either.
No, I did not know that either.
Oh,
but
my
the film
goodness.
Is worthwhile looking for and looking up and reading because,
it
as we both said, it's very informative. And
oh,
there was
my
so
goodness.
Much that we did not even know.
We did not know. And once again, for the audience, you can go on YouTube and put in Fly With Me, and that is the PBS documentary. Also, I check your local listings because it is being replayed all over different times.
It is.
So
I've,
yes.
I've gotten many texts of different things it's on. It's really unbelievable.
Well, we have some callers in the studio waiting. I'm going to just see if anybody would like to make a comment, and then we'll go back, and I have a few, many, many more questions, because your story is just so interesting, and the world needs to hear it straight from you. So just a moment. Let me see if I can bring a caller in. Good morning. This is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. How are you doing today? Would you want to make a comment, or are you just enjoying the show?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I didn't know I was going to. Yes, I can. I didn't know I was going to be connected, but I just want to say that I'm so proud of Pat, and I know her. She is my Tai Chi instructor, and I'm
oh.
Margaret, and I was
Hi,
at
Margaret.
The Schomburg. Hi, Pat. I was at the Schomburg, so I saw everything. She's just amazing overall, and I admire her so much. I'm so proud
Isn't
of her.
She?
Thank you.
And for the audience, I was going to get to that at the end, closer to the end, but as you heard my caller say, Tai Chi, and she is your instructor. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes, she is, and she's amazing. And Tai Chi is amazing. In the beginning, it was a challenge, but
uh-huh.
I stuck with it and totally love it. It's so beneficial to us, and we're so grateful to Pat.
I'm trying to get Pat hooked up to a Zoom so she can help, you know, instruct me in Chicago. So this lady is absolutely has not given up, and she is still giving us joy and introducing us to so wonderful things. And you never, ever, life is not over until it's over. But thank you so much for making a comment. So continue to enjoy the show. And I hope that you're telling everyone to tune in and watch Pat on that PBS special because it's something they need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yes, I did send it out.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, continue to enjoy the show, and it was nice talking
to
you.
Yes, I will.
Okay, great.
Okay,
all right.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, Pat, we're going to see if we can bring somebody else in and see if they want to ask you a question because
okay.
the switchboard is lit up, so I'm happy for that. So let's see who this person is. Good morning. This is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment, or are you just enjoying the show today? Hello? Okay. I think this person is just going to enjoy the show, Pat.
Okay.
And, yeah, so we have another one, though, and then I'll get back to asking some more questions about some things, just your the way that they approached you and how you were really willing to do the show. So one more caller, and then we will continue with your interview. And but I wanted to give this caller an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment. So this is Casey on the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment? Hello, caller? Okay. You know, sometimes
you
don't know if
you lost the connection.
No, sometimes you know what? It's a delay, and that's okay. And the caller just wants to continue to listen, and that's fine. But, I mean, I'm glad they're in the studio and they're enjoying the show. So we're going to move on. So at this point, though, so this is in New York that PBS approached you to do the documentary. Is that correct?
Pardon me? Yes, it was in New York.
Okay. And you had no idea as to neither one of us, because they flew me in from Chicago, and I had no idea as to how the show was going to be aired or the how it was going to be developed, but I was pleasantly surprised because I think they took us from the very beginning with Ellen Church being the very first stewardess to the history, and they also highlighted how women were fighting for their equal rights. And, Pat, as I said, you didn't realize you were doing two things. You were fighting for blacks, their rights to have this opportunity, and you were also fighting for women's rights.
Correct.
Yep. At
Correct.
A young
Basically,
age,
though, it did change because there were so many things in so many ways. If you look at, I mean, even in 56, how, when I was hired, rather, in 1960, how we had to dress, we could not get on a plane. That was not, and you were not in full uniform.
Yes.
And now you can relax a little bit.
Well, even to the point if that people will learn, and there's so, and interviews that I do, and people are just so shocked that, for training, back in the days of training, we had to have we could only weigh so much, we had to be a certain height, and you had to wear girdles, and then moving forward, which, Pat, you only flew for how long?
I flew for a year. I was asked to stay because Capital was merging with United, and at that time, United did not have any black of pilots or flight attendants.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, because technically, I probably would have been the first on United, but it had not come out with full merging as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just decided at that point that if they did not know how a black person would act, then it was just a problem. You know, I didn't feel that I had to stay. I was in college. I wanted to finish my college degree. I was going to get married. And I just felt that I wanted to go on with my life, that if they could not see that we were capable of doing the job, then there would be a greater problem.
It would be, and it was, and it continued to be one, because affirmative action had to step in and put the fire under all of the airlines to make them fulfill this quota. So, you know, we still were fighting the battle. And even though we do have black pilots and we do have other positions, the percentage is still very low compared to. So, yes, the opportunities and there's people in these positions, but it still can be improved and needs to be improved. And one of the things that I do and say when I'm speaking to the different students is I try to encourage them to go into aviation, because it's amazing to me that this is not a field that's introduced to our students. And I don't understand why, because you don't have to just be a pilot or a flight attendant. There are so many fields, air traffic controller. You can be a nurse. You can be a doctor. You can be a manager in aviation and to be able to enjoy this. Now, how much travel did you get in during that year? Did you take any fun trips?
Actually, no. I basically just flew for the year. I didn't take any time off. The best time came with traveling when American Airlines sponsored Medical Wings.
Okay.
And I was invited to join Medical Wings, and we flew around the world providing medical services to the poor.
And so you did do that?
Yes, I did.
And how long?
I did that for about a year.
Oh, that was rewarding. That was fabulous.
And that was a very, very rewarding experience.
Yes,
that
was
to
fabulous.
Be able to give services to those, medical services to those that didn't have the money to see if they were okay, their health was okay. It was just amazing. It was amazing.
Absolutely.
And I think the greatest experience was in Africa, in the bush. And the people there were such beautiful people. They would wait hours to get waited on and never would say a word.
Oh, my goodness.
They would just wait. It was a wonderful experience. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, let's take a little pause and see if we can get another caller because, that's like I said,
okay,
the switchboard is lit up, which I'm happy everyone is enjoying this. So I'm going to take another
call. Yeah, I got a text. A lot of people couldn't get on. I don't know what happened. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, I just got a few texts.
All righty. So hello there. This is Casey, the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment, or are you just enjoying listening to Patricia? Hello? Okay. I think that's just another person that's calling in and enjoying the show. We'll take one more person here and see if I think I might recognize this area.
Yeah, I'm getting these texts. I don't know why people are having a problem getting in.
Hmm. Hello there. This is Casey of the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment, or are you just going to continue to listen today? Hello? Oh. Okay, caller, I can hear your background, but I cannot hear you. Okay, so I guess this caller is just going to listen and not make a comment today, but that's absolutely fine. Thank you so much for calling, and please continue to enjoy the show. So, Pat, I'm going to go back now and just continue with our interview, and then I'll go back and then bring in someone else definitely before we end. So let me ask then, you were talking about that, how rewarding that was. Now, was that flight from New York to where in Africa?
In Senegal.
Oh, you went to Senegal.
Yes, that was the part of Africa that we went to.
Oh, yeah, I've been to Senegal. It's beautiful. The people there are just fabulous. They're wonderful, as you said. Did you get any...
There was various problems that we had when we went there as Americans. When you're an American, some countries, you know, you're just, I remember it was so funny, they used to try to sell us stuff as we were walking all in the street. The first center that we went to, there was a line outside, but people were trying to climb over the roofs of the center.
Mm.
So we were locked in our offices for a period of time. The mayor came and wanted to get the National Guard to watch us. But fortunately, we were leaving that part of Senegal at that time.
And they weren't trying to do any harm to you. They were just trying to receive some of your services, correct?
I guess they were trying to get services ahead of the people on the line.
Exactly.
But, you know, we said, no, you don't have to get the National Guard. It was a frightening experience, though, now, I will say.
Yeah,
because they had us lock our offices and locked us inside.
Wow.
To make sure that we would be safe.
Yes, yes.
But
well,
we went to the bush, it was quiet, and the medical services in the bush was just, it was so rewarding to be able to help the people in the bush because they were so patient and so understanding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, now, who was when I was in D.C. and I was on the panel to discuss, you know, the release of the film, I had the pleasure of meeting Patricia Ireland, and her story is amazing also. Are you familiar with her story? Because there
were
so many other women in the – okay. Well, she had – I don't believe she flew – I don't know how many years she flew, but she went on – to be an advocate for women's rights. So she saw all the different things that were happening, and as you and I said, we were lived through it, and then we also discovered some of these different things that were not just to us back in the day where women weren't even allowed to go into restaurants alone. They couldn't get credit cards without a man. And then for the airlines, you couldn't be married. And then they wanted to have you retire at the ripe old age of 32.
32 years old.
32 years old. And for a little history for those that are listening, being a steward was, or as we know now, it's a flight attendant position, but that was held primarily by men. And Ellen Church is the one who broke into introducing the idea of allowing women to be on the aircraft. And she sold the idea saying that if a white woman was brave enough to go on an aircraft, the aircraft must be safe enough for your husband. So that was part of the advertisement of bringing people on the airplane. And obviously, they didn't think they were never going to bring a black person on as far as an advertisement for that. But it did enter that in with a national flight attendant. She's another person that's featured in this wonderful PBS documentary, Undra Mays. And her story is absolutely amazing, and I will be interviewing her tomorrow and all the things that she went through to be able to get the job that, Pat, you kicked the door open for us in starting in 1956. So we really owe so much to you always. And we will always give you your props and your respect for what you did, because you were very determined to get this done. You had the energy, you had the backing, you had the support, and thank God for you. Can you imagine, when you just think about that, of all the people in the whole world, Pat, you did it.
Yeah. I just want to say this. There are some people trying to get in on us.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going on.
I don't either, because my switchboard is allowing so many people. And I believe I already tried this one. I'm going to try one more person. And
okay.
Can you give me an area code of someone? Hello there. This is Casey, the Fly Girl Show. Are you going to, would you like to make a comment, or are you just going to enjoy the show today?
Hi, Casey. Can you hear me?
Yes. See, there's a little delay sometimes, and so we have to give the audience the time, or the person time. Poor, yes, I can. Would you like to make a comment to Pat, or
sure.
What
I'd
would
love
you like
to
say?
Make a, I'd like to ask her a question. Pat is my mom. I'm Lisa.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Oh, hi, Lisa.
And Casey, I just want to thank you for all of your work and dedication. As you know, I love your show. I love you. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Well, I love your mom, so you know I've got good people supporting me.
Awesome. So I have a question for my mom. So, Patricia, what was the feeling? Can you describe for us in detail what the feeling was like when you won the case? What did it feel like? What were the emotions?
Wow. I felt that there was nothing we could not do as black women. And I knew that we were going to win, because I had it inside of me that we were equal. And in the beginning, it hurt because I was kind of tired of this racist attitude that I grew up into. And I knew that if we stood up for our rights, that we would accomplish any goals that we set out to attain. And this was the kind of thing that I want our children to understand. I'm getting ready to do some children's books, because my thoughts and my feelings are about our children, that they can grow up and whatever they choose to do, they can obtain.
Exactly.
And that they cannot let any of this racism stop them from reaching their goals. And this is from the deep depth of my heart.
Well, I want to add on to Lisa's question because that is an emotional and it's a really loaded question. So when you found out that you won, and did you, was your first response a personal satisfaction of I did it, or was your response we did it, this is what I wanted to happen,
I felt
this is
that
what
we got
for.
It. We
okay.
got it.
Okay.
You know, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you remember, I had a black attorney that also helped,
mm-hmm.
and a Jewish attorney that also helped.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had black support in the newspapers, the radio stations. So I would not have been able to accomplish this goal without the support that I had.
Exactly.
From other avenues, from my family, from my mother. Now, when the newspaper put, I was coming home from college that night, and I stopped at the candy store, and the man in the candy store had the newspaper, the night paper, I forgot, it must have been the New York Tribune,
mm-hmm.
and it had it in the paper, and he started yelling, Pat, you did it, you did it, you did it. And once it was done, some of the issues that occurred, such as the threatening to murder me, the threatenings, all the things to rape me, and how we had to involve the police, because it reached a point that anybody white that was looking at me, you don't know if that's the person that's sending you these messages.
Exactly.
And the police had to know, okay, when you leave Con Edison, what time do you leave? What time do you arrive at Queens College? What time do you leave Queens College? What time do you head home? What bus do you take? What train do you take? And all of this occurred. Now, I'm a young woman.
Yes.
And with the rape threats, the policemen are telling me, don't fight back. Now, how does a young woman feel about that?
A rape case and the police told you not to fight back?
Exactly.
Well, we weren't very armed with defending ourselves back then. Anyway, two things I want to ask, too, when you're as you go on. Did you ask any of your other friends to join you in this case? And when
No.
you did tell your friends that you were applying and had done, how did they respond to you? Did they look at you like
you're
crazy?
They were very supportive. They
okay.
were very supportive, but it was like, it wasn't an interesting field to them. They were very supportive.
Okay.
And no matter what happened and through the years, they were there for me.
Okay.
You know, wishing me luck. You know, those that went to church prayed for me. So
yeah.
I did have support.
Okay.
I had a lot of support.
But no one wanted to join you in that battle.
Well, actually, it wasn't, you know, I can't say much about that because to join me, what did that mean? You know, the case had gone to court.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Malcolm X was a great supporter.
Mm.
He stood by my side a lot through a lot of things when I was flying especially.
Okay.
People knew that I was doing this.
Okay.
Every newspaper, I had a friend in Vietnam. I had letters from all over the world of people supporting me.
Okay.
And when they heard I got the case, they supported me.
Yes.
So there was a lot of support, a lot of support.
Now, how were you receiving these threats? Because to the audience, you know, we're not talking mobile telephones and text messages. So how did you receive?
Through mail.
So they were coming to your house?
No, through mail.
Okay.
They would send letters.
Yes, mail.
To where
was
I
live. Was the mail coming to your house?
To my house.
Oh, wow. So they were able to get your address, so you really were frightened.
Well, the address was in the papers somehow. I don't know how they were, but they knew where I lived.
Oh, that's even more dangerous, Pat.
Because
we
only had telephones. We didn't have, as you said, cell phones.
Mobile
phones.
No. And they could get your phone number.
At the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. But
yes.
Back then, I guess it was easy to get phone numbers and things of that nature.
It was
easier. It wasn't very difficult or hard to look up the name. You know, you could look at the name Banks, you know, in Jamaica.
And so
and you
once
the phone
you won,
number.
Once you won, did the threats increase or did they decrease?
Well, that's
or did,
when
how
the
did you just
in,
kind
the
of
threats occurred when I won.
Okay.
Now the issues were in the newspapers.
Okay.
From the very beginning, but there were no threats at that time. The threats came when it hit the newspapers and the radio stations that I had won the case.
Oh.
And that the airline had to hire me.
Wow.
That was when you had the problem. You know, the problem didn't occur when it was announced that this was the problem we were having as black people.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because
it
nothing has been accomplished.
Yeah,
nothing
we were still
has
in our place, so to speak. Uh-huh.
It was exactly. So it was not
uh-huh.
a threat to these people until
Absolutely.
It actually occurred.
Absolutely. Oh, well, you are the pioneer of all pioneers, I tell you. Lisa, is there anything else you wanted to add to this?
Hi. No, I just think that people don't really understand the gravity in which this process took place. It's almost
yeah.
like, you know, no, you can't come in, black woman. I fought. I won. And it wasn't that. It's the day-to-day, in and out, the never-give-up spirit, the idea that I will win, not just for me, but for every person of color. And now when we get on airlines and we see anybody who is not white, anybody who's flying who is not a white human being is flying because of you, Mom. You
yes.
opened the door, kicked mm-hmm. it down, took a hammer and broke it apart and said, I will win. I will prevail. And I think that sometimes, you know, as a kid, it was like, yeah, yeah, you know, you don't listen. And I think that we all need to just take a moment and pause and take in the courage that my mom had.
Yes. Yes.
And that's all
Despite
I have to share.
She is.
Thank you.
But, you know, and I think that at that point, God could not have chosen a better person because Pat had that determination, very well spoken, and the presence of you will never tell me no.
Well, you know, one of the most important factors here is that if that chief stewardess had not told me that the airlines did not hire Negroes in flight capacities, I may have just assumed that I just didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will say this, there were many, many black women who I'm sure applied before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had no knowledge of the fact that this was a policy of the airlines, they may have just assumed they did not qualify and it was not because of their color.
And there we
so
go.
So when
that
I was
shows
told,
you how even that even emphasizes how important it was what you did, how important it was, how that just goes over the top of magnifying. You were blessed to know and picked up on or was blessed by the supervisor to at least tell you. And that's when you picked it up and decided this will never be acceptable.
Because you have to look at it. Not many
yes.
Negro families flew back in those days.
Exactly.
They did not have the income to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know this. This was something we didn't know. Even
mm-hmm.
if we did fly and you
yes.
didn't see a black woman, you would have never said this was a policy of the airline industry.
Absolutely.
And I think about often of all the black women that applied before me that just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very fortunate by the grace of God to have had someone come out and tell me that this is a policy. That enabled me to be able to fight it.
Yes.
Because this was a fact, not an assumption.
Yes. It had been a revealed fact to you, absolutely, and to the world. And at that point,
yes,
you introduced that to the world because we did
exactly.
not know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, what you did
because
was monumental.
Because I was just not going to have it.
No, and if anybody knows you, well, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show. I want to see if I can bring in one more person. Thank you so
sure.
much, Lisa, for your comment. And you didn't know, when did you start to really appreciate what your mother had done? At what age do you think you really realized what your mother had done?
I don't think I really began to appreciate it until my mid-30s.
Okay.
Because she just downplayed it, you know. She was just like, oh, yeah, by the way. And also, you know, you have to remember that, I mean, I'm 59, so back in the day, Black history and stuff like that wasn't, you know, we kind of talked about it amongst ourselves. We didn't really put it out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, you had Gil Noble, you know, you had that, but... with the internet and people really being wanting to hear about things more and more as the years gone by. But I would say like in my mid-30s.
Okay. Well, I didn't know about Pat, but I think now we've been friends, gosh, Pat, I don't know, since
it was in the early 2000s, because let me just make this interesting point as well.
Absolutely.
Look at the fact that I was hired in 60.
Uh-huh.
There were some radio shows back then, a few of them, and then I think Channel 4 did a show in 74, but it actually almost went dead, and my daughter found this organization called the Black Flight Attendants of America.
Okay.
And the president was Jacqueline Jaquette Williams.
Okay.
And my daughter called me and she said, Mommy, you need to get in touch with these people. And I did. Now, Jacqueline was important in getting this history brought alive again because
okay.
she was very involved with OVAP, which
uh-huh.
was the Office of Black Aerospace Professionals.
Uh-huh.
And it began there. It began.
Okay.
I
okay.
spoke there. And it began to get known, our history, because it didn't
okay.
appear that anyone really knew the history.
No. And no. And that's why it's been my mission in writing my books, is to get the world, you know, to be able to document it, have a source for people to go to, because you're absolutely right. And it has been a pleasure to be a part of the Black Flight Attendants of America, Inc. organization. And Jackie has really done a great job. The whole organization has done a great job. And they brought us together, because that's how I met you, is through Jackie.
Right, right, exactly. Because,
so,
you know, when you look at it, it wasn't until around 99, 2000, that I even heard about Carol Taylor. I knew nothing about her.
Mm.
Nothing. It was never in the newspapers during the time that I was working with the commission.
Yeah.
And you have to look at if the commission knew, I never knew.
Yeah. That's
I never heard of her.
That's why
and
Black
it wasn't
Aviation
until,
History.
Yeah, it wasn't until
important.
Much
yeah.
later, after I even met Jackie. We none of us knew about her.
Yeah, no.
So there's a lot about history we don't even know.
We don't.
In that
but
area.
I am doing my best. And thank you, Lisa. I'm going to try to get one more call in. And then it's almost time to end the show. Which it always happens to us, Pat. We get going and we don't know how to stop. So I would just like to kind of give a recap to the audience about what you're doing now, because, as I said, you are featured in this wonderful documentary. And for everyone to see, to hear your story once again, to be able to hear your story. And what are you doing now?
Well, now I'm teaching Tai Chi. But I would like to also mention that when I retired from the airline industry, I got involved in the field of drug abuse.
Okay.
And I was in the field of drug abuse for over 50 years as a program manager and consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And that I also worked with the American Red Cross. And I was with them doing 911. And having worked with Medical Wings as well was an honor. And now I am teaching Tai Chi to seniors because I want them to stay healthy, to be able to move. It helps the brain and the body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, with that, I think it's time for us to kind of wrap this wonderful show up. And I would like to say thank you so very much for you, what you did and what you are doing. And you're still here spreading the word and allowing us to interview you and being a part of that wonderful PBS documentary that I just cannot say enough of the wonderful job they did and to educate the public. And I always like to say in all of my interviews that, remember, your flight attendant is a safety feature. She's not on that airplane just to serve you. And so for all those that get on and think that you can disrespect and mishandle and touch inappropriately, this is unacceptable. She is a well-trained asset to your life being in the safety of those being on an airplane. So that's my little plug for the flight attendant.
Well, that's true, because when you think about the training,
yes,
if a plane crashes, I was involved in an almost plane crash. I got a commendation for that flight. I was flying a Viscount, and it almost went down. And
okay,
I'll never forget that. But I would also,
no,
before we get off, I would like to thank Sarah Colt for the wonderful job she did with Fly With Me.
And Helen Dobrowski, yes. They did a fabulous, fabulous job. And please go on YouTube, look for Fly With Me, tell your friends. It's something that's educational, very informative. And as I said, it's not just the flight attendants and their trials and tribulations, but we have to be reminded of women having to fight for their equal rights, which is what we're still doing in 2024. And so once again, Pat, I thank you so much for allowing me to take an hour of your time for this wonderful interview. Please stay healthy. Continue to teach senior citizens Tai Chi.
I will. I will.
And you have a wonderful day. And so for my audience, I hope that you enjoyed this show. I always try to bring you someone interesting, someone that's going to enhance your life and some knowledge, and this is what we've done. This is Black. We just came out of Black History Month, and now this is Women's Month. But every month should be the same. We should have, we should always want to learn and know about Blacks' accomplishments and anyone, people of color, and our accomplishments, because we've contributed quite a bit to history. So once again, you never know what show or what day I'm going to bring interesting person on. So just check on my website, which is theflygirl10.com. See what events are coming up or where I might be for a book signing. And my books are available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. That's Stars in the Sky and Stars and Beyond. So if you need a resource for African American or Black aviation history, that is the greatest source that I can recommend. And so with that, I hope that you enjoyed the show. Please stay in tune. Please follow Pat. She is on the internet. You can find out where she is and where she may be speaking, because she has a wonderful story to tell. And thank heavens for her being with us. So with that, have a wonderful day. Once again, this is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. Have a wonderful day. ¶¶